The title of my homily this evening is Divide and Convert. In our reading from the Gospel this evening, St. John tells us at the end of this passage that the people wanted to come and make Jesus a king, but they wanted to do it by force. They wanted him to become the kind of leader who would use his authority in ways that ancient kings and many modern-day rulers also rule, to divide and conquer. History is filled with countless leaders who have used this approach, who have used this tactic, not only to defeat foreign nations, but indeed to keep their own subjects in check as well. There is a predilection common to humans where we seem to want to be ruled in such a way that the leader thinks and acts on our behalf, thus leading people to abdicate responsibility for their lives or to choose to live vicariously through those who are, so to speak, their kings. Now, there's an interesting contrast in the Gospels between two men. If this wasn't a Sunday, the 25th of July would be marked as the feast day of St. James. We know that St. James was the first of the apostles to be martyred. And there's a very close association between James on the one hand and the king whose name is Herod. Now, earlier in their lives, our Lord called James and his brother John the sons of thunder. You need to appreciate that in the Gospels, when Jesus is with the apostles, they're in their 20s. Maybe some of you are watching this series on TV called The Chosen, where you get a perspective on the apostles, the age that they were, and how young they were at the time they gathered with Jesus. So he had given James and John the name the Sons of Thunder because at some level, they wanted the kind of king who would divide and conquer. You might remember the story where they're in a village with the Samaritans who do not receive the message of Jesus in the way that James thinks they should, and John for that matter. And so here is what they say. So Jesus, should we bring down lightning upon them to let them have it? They haven't responded to you. And of course, Jesus says, no, we will not do that. That is not the way in which we are going to act. So the sons of thunder, those who preach this fire and brimstone sermon, or a lightning sermon, something happens between the time that James is with Jesus and the time of his death in the year 44 AD. He's no longer a son of thunder, but now he is a son of compassion. There's a man by the name of Clement of Alexandria who lived from 150 to 215 AD. Remember, James died around the year 44 AD. So this is well 100 years later that St. Clement was born. But he tells the story that when James was taken before the tribunal, that his integrity was so apparent to those who tried him that the man who was to be his executioner, was so taken by St. James. And James said to this man who was about to kill him, "Peace be with you," and St. James hugged the person who was about to execute him. This so impacted the man that he couldn't go through with the execution. And you know what happened in the end? He was martyred with St. James. How does that happen? What kind of person is able to live that way? Well, someone that's very different from King Herod, for you see, King Herod was all about divide and conquer. He wanted all of the accolades to be directed towards himself. And indeed, he loved the fact that people thought that he was a god. There's a very telling story in the Gospel according to St. Luke and then over in the Acts of the Apostles, where we're told that just after he, Herod, had executed James, he, the king, also dies. And just as he's basking in the people's praise, an angel struck him dead. What a difference. James, at his death, was filled with the character of the true God, a character of humility. Herod was consumed by himself and pride. What was it about Herod? He lusted for power, for absolute power. And in the end, this absolute power destroyed him absolutely. James, on the other hand, learned from another king, Jesus, who rather than choosing the strategy of divide and conquer, chose and continues to use the strategy of divide and convert. What do I mean by this? In our gospel for today, we see how Jesus divided the light meal of the boy who showed up on the Galilean hillside. 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took this meager fare and divided it among those assembled. It said there were 5,000. Well, that's the men. If you take the women and the children, there were probably about 20,000 people there. And Jesus takes this small meal, barley loaves were the bread of the poor, and he touches the people, not only there, but those down through the centuries who come to the Eucharist, which is the continuation of that Galilean meal. So what is it that Jesus does to bring about this division and conversion? It involves teaching, taking, thanking, and telling. At the beginning of our passage from the Gospel according to St. John for this evening, we're told that Jesus was teaching the people. They were so attracted to him because he was teaching them things about the kingdom of God and about the meaning of their lives that changed everything for them. And here we see as well with the apostles, these men who were holding worldly values coming to appropriate eternal values. Again, if you're following The Chosen, one of the characters that's beautifully portrayed is the character of Matthew the tax collector, who earlier on in the series, you see him at his tax booth, and he is consumed by his desire for good clothing and for money and for status. But then he comes to follow Jesus, and you see how he begins to open himself to studying the scriptures, and he begins to follow the teaching of Jesus. And one of the things that I appreciate about how they do the representation in The Chosen is it's a very slow conversion. And not only is it a slow conversion for Matthew, but imagine for Matthew to be accepted by the likes of Peter and the other apostles who are devout Jews, and that this man had been in league with the Romans. If you haven't watched The Chosen, do you know that it is the most successful pay it forward project in the history of the world? In the history of the world. At the moment, more than 270 million people have watched it. Their hope and their goal is 1 billion people will ultimately come to watch The Chosen. But what we see in The Chosen is this embodiment of the teaching of Jesus that we see here in the Gospel according to St. John. And as we discover more and more what it is to be his people, as we understand what it is to come under his teaching, then with St. Paul, who wrote these words in today's second reading, we affirm that there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. 7 times in what I've just quoted, St. Paul uses the adjective one. St. Paul declares that the true King Jesus brings together under his holy and gracious rule all people. Rather than to divide and conquer, Jesus wants to divide and bring together. But we live in a world where so often this attitude of divide and conquer, of tearing people apart, is prevalent in so many contexts and areas of our lives. But we are called to be a different kind of people. That as we come under the teaching of Jesus, we ought not only think of the example of his teaching, but of what he does next. He takes those 5 barley loaves, those 2 fish, the offering of this boy. This is important. Earthly kings so often orchestrate their strategies from positions of strength. so that they can dominate others rather than work with and through us to help. And Jesus, on the other hand, always works in a way that is cooperative, where he wants to involve us. At times, yes, of course, he will stretch us, but he wants to take what we give to him, and he invites us to offer these things to him, as did the lad with his meal. So, to teach, to take, and the next thing that Jesus does is he is thankful. How different this is from so many earthly rulers whose desire for power is insatiable and therefore never satisfied. Thanksgiving, on the other hand, is the way to express satisfaction for the gift that is given. When we follow the way of Jesus, we too discover the true meaning is found when we learn the way of thanksgiving. And that is, of course, what we do whenever we gather for the Mass. This, in turn, leads to the fourth T, the telling. We are learning to be attentive to the signs of grace, the opportunities that we have been given in our lives to serve with Jesus in his mission, to divide and to convert by telling others about the servant king. That's particularly hard today, especially when the news is so often telling the story of the Catholic Church, which is very painful. And these are very hard times for us. It feels very much like we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are we going to do with all of this? But what we're invited to do is to learn from the gospel, to learn from Jesus, and to understand that in this Mass, as I have been teaching, we will then come to take the Eucharist, to offer it in thanksgiving, to receive it, so that you can then go back out into the world and tell of our King. The fragments that are gathered up in the story represent the care that Jesus wants us to take in how you and I live our lives daily. As we discover that we cannot make Jesus king by force, but rather he wants us to make him our king by choice, we are then more and more open to the transformative work of conversion. And my beloved brothers and sisters, that's what it is all about. It is all about conversion to Jesus Christ, coming to know him personally, coming to trust in him and opening our lives to him. And when this conversion becomes more real in our lives, we discover that we're not setting our own agenda, setting up our own little kingdoms. Rather, we are joining with Jesus Christ in ushering in his kingdom. So with St. Paul, we can say, Amen, where he wrote, "Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love." Now just think about what St. Paul writes here in light of COVID and everything we've been through. You don't have it in yourself, nor do I, to live this way. It's only by conversion, by coming more and more under the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can live with lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The world is always wanting to divide and conquer. Jesus is always wanting to divide and convert. It's good that we can think of someone like St. James, a man who had that own kind of conversion in his own life, so that he became the kind of man who was convinced that the true King Jesus and his kingdom were worth dying for. My beloved brothers and sisters, we can never force Jesus to be king, but he does ask us to choose him to be our king, so that at every Mass, we reaffirm that this is a meal of divide and conversion. not divide and conquer.